church at Corinth. We know this was an Assembly of God church. Dr. Young, in his translation, said to the Assemblies of God at Corinth. So we know this was an Assembly of God church. It was a tongue-talking church. Had a little difficulty in it, so we know it was true to pattern. But it's one of the great letters. And so we share the 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with the excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. That must be one of the great texts of the Bible. We'll not preach on it tonight, but when God testifies in the church, the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And there's my text tonight. I could hardly believe these are the words penned by the Apostle Paul. I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. My speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. That your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Howbeit we speak wisdom among them which are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. Let's go to the 2 Corinthians, chapter number 11, and I want to read a large portion of this chapter, not all of it, but there's some things I'd like to share with you. Verse number 1, would to God you would bear with me a little in my folly, and indeed bear with me. For I'm jealous over you with a godly jealousy, for I've espoused you unto one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. But I fear. That's a startling word from the grand apostle. I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that's in Christ Jesus. For if he that cometh preaching another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if you receive another spirit, or if you have, which we have not received, or another gospel which ye have not accepted, ye might well bear with him. That's a glorious truth. Another Jesus, another spirit, and another gospel. You might bear with him. For I suppose I was not a whit behind the very chiefest of apostles. But though I be rude in speech, yet not in knowledge, but we have been thoroughly made manifest among you in all things. Have I committed an offense in abasing myself, that ye might be exalted because I have preached to you the gospel of God freely? I robbed other churches, taking wages of them to do you service. Now let's go down to the verse number 21, and I want to read. I speak as concerning reproach, as though we had been weak. Howbeit, wherein soever any is bold, I speak foolishly, I'm bold also. Are they Hebrews? So am I. are the Israelites, so am I. Are they the seed of Abraham? So am I. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I'm more in labors, more abundant in stripes, above measure imprisonments, more often in, more frequent in deaths, oft, and of the Jews 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods, once was I stoned, and thrice I suffered shipwreck. Night and a day I've been in the deep, journeying often in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, perils of my own countrymen, perils for the heathen, perils in the city, and perils in the wilderness, perils in the sea, and perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst and fasting often, in cold and in nakedness. Besides those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. Who is weak? I'm not weak. Who is offended? I burn not. If I must needs glory, I will glory in the things which concern mine infirmities. Hallelujah. Let's lift up our hands and give him a praise offering tonight. Father, I thank you for camp meeting today. Thank you for the word of faith. Thank you for the ministry of the Holy Ghost. Thank you for the covenant of God tonight. Thank you for ministering to this people. I pray for that anointing, the unction, the revelation of the Holy Ghost tonight. Let us speak by the oracle of God. Let our tongue be as the pen of a ready writer. I ask you for that holy anointing tonight, for the ministry of the Spirit to come mightily upon us. In Jesus' name, amen. I'd like to speak to you tonight on Paul's fears. Who would have believed this Hercules of the faith, this giant of an apostle, would be afraid of anything? What could frighten or make this man tremble? I looked in the Bible and Paul said several times, I fear, and these are so strange words. I thought, what would it take to make this man fear? Nothing looked like would frighten him. Before his conversion, he was the mum that led the gang to arrest Christians and hail them into prison, even to death. When the Lord called him, he was on the road to Damascus, breathing out threatenings against the church and saying what he would do to the apostles if he just got his hands on them. And now this man who's bloodthirsty for the blood of the saints is now crying out, I fear. What could make him fear? I looked again at the grand apostle. Here's the one that faced the beast of Ephesus. Here is the one that faced the very enemies of the cross with the gospel of Jesus Christ. What could make him afraid? He stood before Agrippa as though he was talking to a Sunday school class. And when he finished, Agrippa said, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. He stood before Festus, the governor, as though he was speaking at a PTA meeting. And when he finished, Festus said, you're mad. And Paul answered back, I'm not mad, most noble Festus. I just found it. Hallelujah. I want to shout, this is the one that stood before Felix, and Felix trembled in his presence while he preached on righteousness and judgment to come. Here's a gospel preacher that braved the storm, that sang in the prison house when walls were shaken down, and he endured the cross and suffering of Christ and gloried in reproach. And now he's saying, I fear. What could make this grand apostle say, I fear? I see him when he spent 14 days and nights and the sun never shone. Stars or the moon or the sun never lightened the way. And he walked out on the deck of the ship and said, sirs, be of good cheer. Hallelujah. There stood by me this night, an angel of God whom I serve. If the storm he sees couldn't frighten him, if a day and the night and the deep didn't move him, if threatenings and beatings and with rods and with whips and scourges and imprisonments and perils and hunger and fasting couldn't move him, then what could make this grand apostle fear? Oh, there must have been something down in his heart. It was a determination to go all the way with God. I looked again to the Word, and I found this is the same grand apostle that could stand and shake the viper off of his hand in the fire. And the Bible said he felt no harm from the viper. I know what it is to be in that kind of a predicament. We took our Royal Rangers a few years ago to the mountains on campout. We forbid the little Royal Rangers to go into the mountain area, for they said it was infested with copperhead snakes. One of the boys, his father, was my Royal Ranger director, and I thought, well, if he lets his boys go up there, that'll be him. Sure enough, one of the little boys was bitten, came down. There he was, deathly sick and trembling. I said, we'd better take him to the doctor. We'd better see what's happening. He said, let's believe the Lord. The little boy was extremely sick. We took him to the Christ of the Ozarks that evening with us. But the little boy stopped along the path and said, Daddy, I've gone as far as I could go. I can't make another step. And those little Royal Rangers reached out their hand, and little trembling chins and little tongues began to speak in tongues. And they laid hands on that boy, and he was healed by the wonderful power of the name that's above every name. Paul shook the viper in the fire and felt no harm. And yet I see this grand apostle who is fearless and whose gospel is absolute. And he stands and said, I was with you in fear and in trembling. More abundant in stripes. Stripes did not stop him. Imprisonments did not dampen his faith. Rods and beatings did not stop the gospel from exuding from his life. It's the gospel that cannot be changed. But what could make this grand, great saint of God, patriarch of the faith, fear in the presence of God? I asked myself the question, and Paul said, I have a fear that your faith will stand in the wisdom of men and not in the power of God. This is a day of personalities. This is a day when we're in the arena of giants. We're in the day of the parade of the stars. And may I challenge you tonight, let's put our faith in Jesus Christ and have an anchor in Him in the midst of this day of clamor for stars and for men that can get the job. We need faith in God to where we can hold to that unchanging hand. Paul said, I'm afraid you'll get Paul's religion. I'm afraid your faith will anchor in the apostle. In fact, he writes and says, I thank God I baptized none of you except the house of Stephanus and maybe Crispus. And he said, there might have been another one or two, lest you say it was Paul's baptism. It's not Paul, but it's a man called Jesus. Hallelujah. We're parading and Hollywood stars. We're parading Nashville stars. People could sing Mama Left Me songs all week and then sing for Jesus on Sunday. It's baloney off of ice. Say amen. We need a revival that'll bring us back to our faith is anchored in Calvary's bleeding lamb and the work of the cross and the victory of the resurrection and the glory of sanctification and a life of dedication and commitment to God, to where if no one else shows up in church, we've got an anchor that's going to hold. Hallelujah. The password inside of the fellowship today is, I do not know what to believe. Our faith has been shattered. If some of the modern streamlined gospel that you're hearing today is truth, our forefathers were the biggest fools that ever lived. If this newfangled idea that's sweeping the country, that's filling auditoriums, is the gospel, then what our fathers preached must have been in error. But I want to challenge you, I'm convinced message, that that's born an altar prayer, that that's born in dedication, that that produces righteousness and sanctified lives, purity and separation unto God, is not in error. By their fruit ye shall know them. Get an anchor in God. Hallelujah. I know in whom I have believed. A cheap gospel that doesn't change men's lives. Not long ago, an executive presbyter said, we met with a board meeting, and the board did not know what kind of a church they were in. They didn't know it was an Assembly of God church. The board members sat in the board meeting and cussed each other, used God's name in vain. Friends, it's high time we find the gospel that's genuine. Of all the things men need is a genuine, born-again experience. Something you know you pass from death unto life. Amen. Hallelujah. I like a mourner's bench. I wouldn't pay the light bill on a church that didn't have an altar in it. Amen. I'm convinced the victories that are won in an altar. I'm glad I got in just the way I did. I'm glad I got in before we went through this little prayer, for all we eat, for all we wear. No, that isn't the one you say. Say amen. Dear God, I'm a sinner, I'm a sinner. I'm lost. Come in, amen. So be it, amen. Go back to your seat, fill out the card. Be back tomorrow night and get a blue card and get in the prosperity line and you'll all become millionaires. Oh, for a gospel that's real. Hallelujah. When I came in, we didn't have riches. I sang I'm a millionaire when I didn't have 20 cents in my pocket. Amen. We went to church when my mother used to put those kind of soles on her shoes that you got a scratcher with it and you stuck them on. You remember those stick-ons? Some of you old-timers that have been in depression know what it is. My mom could shout through a pair of those soles in one revival. Hallelujah. Give us a revival of reality. Paul said, I've got a fear that your faith will stand in man and not in the power of God. Oh, I know in whom I have believed, Paul said. I'm persuaded he's able to keep that that's committed unto him. Hallelujah. I knew a man. I knew him. It's that victory that's in Christ. Paul said, I'll count the whole business, but dung that I may win Christ. I've got one ambition, one desire, one longing, one heartbeat, one longing, and that is to have a gospel of reality. I get amazed at Hollywood stars. They get on these talk shows. I don't watch many of them. They're so filthy now. You wouldn't let anybody cuss in your house like they're cussing now. Thank you for those good amens. Amen. But you get a Hollywood star on the talk show, and they say, what have you been doing lately? And the first thing he says, I've been trying to find myself. I think, dummy, I know where I am. Hallelujah. My name is in the book of the life. I'm a part of the household of God. I know in whom I have believed. There's a victory in Christ. Paul said you'll have your faith in the wisdom of man, in the personality of men. I'd like to preach a lot along this line. There's a lot of difference in following Christ. For Jesus said, if any man come after me, he has to deny himself. There's more to it than filling out a blue card. Amen. There's more to it than repeating a little line. There's more to it than a little Jesus pep rally. It's the way of the cross, the way of surrender, the way of crucifixion, the way of death, the way of counting the cost. Jesus never tried to influence the masses to join his rally. He told them the conditions if they did follow him. Look a little farther. Paul said, I have a fear that I'll be found depending on my own righteousness. Philippians chapter number 3, verse number 7. Paul said, I want to come to the end. When I face life's last battle, I don't want to stand there in Paul's righteousness. I want to stand there in the righteousness of the King. Hallelujah. I I want his robe of righteousness on me. It's that purity, that godliness, that righteousness that comes by victory in Jesus Christ. It costs something to bring this movement to where we are. I can tell you now, our churches, a lot of little churches, it was out of those little churches have come our missionaries and our elders that have helped build this great movement. I was holding revival meeting in Russellville, Arkansas. And Judge Lindsay took me down on the hill and said, Don, right there's where Daddy Fitzgerald put his first tent, right here in Russellville. They said that out of that meeting came more preachers than any single revival that's been reported. They wrote a history of the Russellville church, and it said that out of that meeting came the greatest number of preachers recorded in one revival. Dad Fitzgerald put that tent right on that corner, preached for three weeks, and not a convert. That's in the early days when it was new. Not a soul saved, not a person baptized in the Holy Ghost. Fitzgerald's family lived behind a little tent flap in the back of the tent with no fan, no air conditioning, nothing, not enough money to live on. I wish they'd have got one of these blessed pins now or one of these blessed purses. Would you shout now? Have you ever heard of as much baloney now? Spiritual shysters that are out to fleece the flock. The only person that's getting rich out of this prosperity bit is the evangelist that's preaching it. Amen. He laughs all the way to the bank. I'm having a time. Now, I'm an evangelist. I'm in that business. Amen. But look at it. Dad Fitzgerald preached that revival meeting 3 weeks and not a soul saved. Didn't have milk for their babies. They boiled potatoes and gave their babies the potato juice in their bottle. The family suffered and they wept and cried and said, my God, what's wrong? Not a soul was saved, not one. We started up the hill and Judge Lindsay said, Don, right there at that pine thicket is where Dad Fitzgerald stopped that Model T truck, had the tent poles in the back of it and the old tent stakes in the back of the truck, and he got out into that pine thicket and he began to pray and the Holy Ghost fell on him. He didn't have anybody with him to lead him in prayer. He had to do it himself. I'm glad to hear you say amen. And underneath that pine thicket, in a prayer meeting, he began to groan in the Holy Ghost. And he laid and he rolled and wallowed in the pine straw until the Holy Ghost filled his soul with heaven's delight. And he cried to God, and the Holy Spirit said, Fitzgerald, put the tent back where you had it. I'm going to give you a revival. He couldn't believe it. He walked back to the Model T truck. His wife began to cry. His family was crying. And said, Daddy, we can't do it. They starved us out. He said, I can't help it. I touched him. Hallelujah. Give us a revival one more time. Paul said, I want something when I come to the end that I can say I've been in the battle of God's. Fitzgerald said when he came back down, drove the tent stake, some of them he put back in the same holes, put it on that same old barren lot, drove the stakes down and started preaching. In a few nights, the Holy Spirit in his glory came. Healing power filled that little tent. The Spirit of God fell like rain. And I've been told by people that attended the meeting, but Lot didn't hold the people. There wasn't standing room. And hundreds were baptized in the Holy Ghost and with fire. Give us a revival of genuineness again. God, start a revival. Give us an evangelist. Give us prophets of God that fear nothing but the King of glory and will walk in the presence of God Almighty. Paul said, when I come to the end, I want something that's going to count on the record of God's account. I fear lest I'll get there with Paul's record. I want more than that. Amen. And then I heard Paul say another message. I have another fear, and that's lest after I preach to others, I myself would be a castaway. Let me finish my course with joy. Let me come to the end with victory in my heart. It bothers me when I see so many along the trail in the salvage yard of the devil that have lost their desire. Let me come to the end, Lord. Let me finish my race with that victory that's in Christ. Hallelujah. Amen. You can let bitterness come in your heart. One of the hardest battles you'll have to fight, preacher, is to keep bitterness out while you're in this journey. Yes, sir, you'll be misunderstood. You may be mistreated, but I'd like to come to the end. Hallelujah. Lest I be a reject out of God's mercy. When I was a young preacher boy, holy revival meetings across Oklahoma, western country, New Mexico, and Arizona, held a revival meeting for a preacher. I'd never held a revival for that preacher that was that affluent. We was just barely making it from revival to a revival, and I was having a time of my life. And I wouldn't take nothing from a journey now. Hallelujah. Never wrote a hard luck story yet. Never wrote a letter and said, there's $100,000 in debt. Please come and bail me out. Would you shout now? We didn't believe it. Those days, you believed heaven had your address. And I still believe it. Hallelujah. There's a victory. Held a revival meeting with a preacher. He said, Don, you've got a good future. You got a bright future, young man. You could go places, but you'll have to let up on this sin business. It just makes enemies. Don't preach against sin. Bless them. Make them all feel good. Well, I know what makes a man feel good when you get free from sin. Hallelujah. You get rid of sin, you'll have a camp meeting in your spell. Hallelujah. John Hilger's got the baptism of the Holy Ghost in our meeting at Denver, and old John lived in sin. He's one of the managers of one of the large automobile companies in that town. And old John, before he got saved, was living like the devil, he said. I was living in sin and ungodliness. And he said, my liquor bill was $700 a month. My wife and I was broke up. We had cuss fights. I lived in hell on earth. He said, one night, I was living wild, going to Las Vegas. I just won a big gambling contest, big gambling deal that went to church on Sunday night. She said, when I was sitting there in church, I thought, what's a big gambler and a drunkard and a cusser like me doing in church? She said, when they passed the offering pan, I just threw $100 bills in. Amen. Don't you know those ushers thought they really got a liberal saint that night? Wasn't just the meanest devil in the country. Old John said, I was sitting there in church. All church was going on. I never heard a word the preacher said. I said about how much money I made gambling. I was living in sin. John said, my daughters got saved on a Wednesday night. They called and said, Dad, would you take us to church? And they came and picked up John Hilger. He came to pick him up, and his wife was there. And they both pulled in the yard about the same time. He said, we had a cuss fight out in the yard. And I told her I was going to take the girls to church. And she said, no, I'm taking them. And I said, I'm just as good as you are. I'm going to. And they both took them. And he said, I didn't go to church to get saved. I went there to spite her. Amen. When the Wednesday night, when John went to that altar to get saved, the preacher, when he got ready to give his altar call, said, there's somebody here tonight, and this is your call from God. You need to get right. And his wife got up and started to cross in front of him to the altar, get saved, and turned and said, John, you need this too. Amen. And he said, I made up my mind, if she is going to the altar, I wasn't going to let her get ahead of me. John went to an altar, cried out to God, repented, and 3 hours and 20 minutes later, he said, the burden of sin rolled away, and the joy of heaven came in the soul, and I was a new creature. Hallelujah. He said, I drove down the road, the freeway, the next morning on the way to work, screaming to the top of my voice, beating the steering wheel on that new car. I'm free. Hallelujah. I'm free. I'm free. I want to shout, brother, there's victory and freedom when you walk with God. Does that sound right? Pray for me. I'll hold out to the end. The preacher said, Don, if you let up on sin, you'll go places. Sir, you don't let up on sin. Any gospel that's true gospel preaches the righteousness of God. Any gospel that's true gospel has law in it. Any gospel that's true gospel has grace in it. Because you see, grace is still stronger than the law. The law said eye for eye and a tooth for tooth under the law. If you kick my hound, I can kick yours. But under grace it says turn the other cheek. And that's a little stronger than the law. Moses gave him a writing of divorcement, but Jesus put it a little stronger than that. When you move under grace, you're under pretty strong, stringent law. The preacher friend that said, Don, if you'll just let up on preaching against sin, you'll go places. He's in the salvage yard of the enemy tonight. He's a dope addict and he lives a life, a terrible, terrible, terrible life. Goes down the street having cuss fits, uncontrollably violent spewings of blasphemy pours out of his soul. I'd like to come to the end with a touch of heaven in my soul and look through the last mile and say, I know in whom I have believed. Say amen. Let me come to that. Let me finish my course with joy. Paul said, lest after I preach to others, I myself would be a castaway. Many will come, he said, evangelists will come to the judgment and say, Lord, we've cast out devils. We've done many mighty works in your name. And he said, depart from me, I know you not. It's going to take more than being an evangelist and having your auditorium filled. It's going to take more than a telecast and more than a magazine to get in. It's going to take the righteousness of the King. I'd like to come to the end with things right between me and God. Hallelujah. Paul had another fear. This one bothered Paul. 2 Corinthians, I read it. I fear, lest these converts would be corrupted and their minds would be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. We've got so many seminars now on... I'm getting... Let me shout a little bit. I'm going to preach a little while now. Just visit with you. We're having seminars on how to have seminars now. Dr. Spoutendyke will be here next week and hold a seminar. And we old saints of God been talking in tongues for 20 years. And he's going to give us a lesson on how to get it. Would you shout now? Hallelujah. We're going to hold a prosperity seminar in the church next week. There's a lot of truth in some of these seminars, but there's a lot of truth that's not truth because it's half truth. We've got this business of going through the country now. Just claim it. You don't have to pray about it. There's churches that quit having prayer meeting now. Just claim it. There is a part truth in claiming it, but that isn't all of all night. He prayed in the hour, prayed, he prayed again, he prayed. And there's a victory, church, when we pray again. Don't let the enemy rob us of that victory of old-fashioned camp meeting, prayer meeting around the altar. That dedication and commitment to God Almighty that changes men's lives. There's more to it than just claim it. There's more to it than a prayer cloth. There's a victory that comes by obedience to the will of God. Paul said, I fear lest we'll run after another gospel. A few years ago, it looked like the Jesus movement was going to take the world by a storm. They baptized more converts than anyone else. I get amazed at Jesus movement. I think I told you. About the time it reached its height, someone ran up to me in California and said, Brother Brankle, are you with the Jesus movement? I said, no, I'm a Jesus person. But I'm not with a Jesus movement. I'm a Jesus man. Amen. You don't have to look like a reject at a witch factory and smell like an Arab with a goat under each arm to be a Jesus person. Amen. Brother, this thing's real. This thing is real. Oh, for something real. It looked like the Jesus movement was going to sweep the world with a storm. They baptized more converts, made headlines of some of the leading magazines and periodicals. But you can't find it today. It's tuckered out because it was the cult of liberalism. No restraint, no discipline, no teaching. Do your own thing. Let it all hang out. Live like you want to. But, sir, the way of the cross is the way that leads home. Paul said, I fear you'll find another gospel. And churches are being filled with people today that have never found the cross. People are running across the country and renting hotels and spending thousands of dollars to hear a gospel that doesn't teach a crucified life. Give us that victory that comes through Calvary's bleeding lamb till we can say, I'm not my own. My life has been hid with Christ in God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. When I first found this Pentecostal experience, we talked about the crucified life, the sanctified life, the holy life. Give it to us again, Lord. I'm hurrying. Paul said, I have a fear. I fear. Lest there'll be another gospel, another Jesus, another spirit. I was in a church not long ago, and they had hired a person to come and teach them how to dance in the spirit. I thought, you dummy. Can you imagine an Assembly of God church needing a choreographer to teach them how to dance? A preacher friend of mine picked up a bulletin a few days ago in his office. And I think hell's worst enemy that came against the kingdom of God must be the disco today. It's damning lives and wrecking the morals and destroying young people by the thousands across our land. Seems to be hell's demon-inspired. Did you know the latest hit and the one that has sold the most records and packs the largest arenas is the group that's out today that are demon-possessed, till they reach a place in their orgy and they're twisting and wiggling and squirming, till they vomit, and young people run to get in the vomit to see if they can get in it. Minds are demented. It's beyond the explanation of the human mind. I will not understand what would cause this. I could not understand what could play with the minds of men that would bring them to such a low place. And yet a preacher friend of mine picked up a bulletin the other day. He said in the bulletin, we're having a gospel disco. Let me plead with you, there is no such thing. Let's have a revival one more time. It may turn people on, but it's not going to turn us to God. We need a revival. They'll turn us to the altar of God in repentance. Get us ready for His coming. I must close. Paul said, I have another fear. And that is, woe is me if I preach not the gospel. There's a premium today for gospel preachers. Give us a rebirth of just old-fashioned gospel preaching again. I don't understand preaching. It's a mystery to me. The Bible made two statements in that book of Corinthians chapter 1 that's always been a mystery to me. It says the foolishness of God is wiser than the wisdom of men. I didn't know God had foolishness. And then it said, the weakness of God is stronger than the what? Strong strength of man. And I thought, I looked through the Bible and I said, God, where is there any foolishness with God? And I couldn't find but one place in the Bible that even looked like God was ever foolish. And it says that God chose the foolishness of preaching to save men that perish. God put this eternal gospel in the mouths of human beings and told them to carry the gospel to the ends of the earth. And it's powerful. Hallelujah. What could be the weakness of God? What could be the weakness of God? And then I looked at the book of Jonah. And Jonah said, God, I told you this is what you'd do. If this city repented of their sins, you'd forgive them and you wouldn't burn them, God. And God Almighty will turn, and all heaven turns when man repents and comes to God.
The judgment of God was already ordered on Nineveh. But there's something that happens. When Ahab repented and the prophet stood with a trembling voice and read the doom upon Ahab. And when Ahab fell and repented, God said, I'll not let it happen in your generation. There's a weakness in God. When men repent, he'll do something in heaven that turns around. Woe is me if I preach not the gospel. If I come to the end and this generation fails and goes to hell when they're depending on gospel preaching to get the job done. Not long ago at a camp, people stood in line clear across the camp tabernacle to buy a sermon on hell and said, Brother Brankle, our children have never heard a message on hell. My family has never heard a message on hell. 25 years we've been in the church. Numbers line after line, said Brother Brankle. We've been in the blessing line. We've been in the healing line. We've never been warned of the damnation to come. Woe is me if I preach not the gospel of Jesus Christ. Let me come to the end with a gospel that's complete. I fear, lest I fail in this generation. I've got 4 grandchildren. And I want them to have one of God's old-fashioned, Holy Ghost-anointed preachers when they come to the end of the journey. I'm not looking for a man that is suave. I'm not looking for a man that's capable. I'm looking for somebody that knows how to talk to God and has a message that comes from the heart of heaven. Give me a revival in this generation. I close tonight. But there's a crying need across the General Council, the Assemblies of God, for a rebirth of Holy Ghost anointed preachers just one more time. I'm praying on the Bible school campus. There'll be a revival break out. They'll produce some Holy Ghost preachers and some anointed men of God. One more time, they'll feel a holy heart burn till they'll forsake everything and count it all dung. That they might win Christ. For this generation, God said, would be saved by one method, and that's the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I thought God would make an exhibition. I thought maybe God would hear a cry and let them really see a wonder and a sign in the family of the rich man in hell when he prayed and said, Father Abraham, send Lazarus back to town and let there be a spectacular meeting at the city auditorium. Let them have a spectacular meeting. But God didn't send one back. He said, they've got Moses and the prophets. And a lot hinges on this service tonight. Somebody, we're dealing with eternal souls. And what happens in this meeting could well make a page in eternal records of the souls of men. Father, I thank you for the gospel tonight.